Well, without further ado, I'd like to bring on Colleen Campbell, Senior Director of People and Talent Systems at Chobani. So thanks for joining me.
It's my first meeting. It's amazing.
I kind of feel like a talk show host, but
it's more Oprah than I expected.
Well, Met and Stan wouldn't let me bring the live band out here, so it's sort of missing something. Well, tell us a little bit about your background. You know, you've been at Chobani a while, but you have 10 years of experience in TA and people systems. So give us your background and tell us a bit about your role at Chobani.
So let's start with Chobani first. Let's not assume that everyone knows. So Chobani is a global provider of good food. It's part of our mission and vision. So Greek yogurt, specifically started by our founder, Hongi, who is the original leader for all things that we do. We have two small manufacturing plants and a corporate office in Soho, a small population in Australia, an even smaller population in Mexico, and that's it. So it's a brand, and it's a brand company. You know, many of you may know it. I don't think we ate it this morning, but we'll work on that. So my background, I joined the company 2 years ago. My background is much more focused on change management and HR leadership, common sense, I like to say, business processes. But had a leaning towards technology, and Chobani was looking at implementing all 7 modules of SuccessFactors, Qualtrics, Qualtrics 360, and Kronos as quickly as they could. So we did SuccessFactors within 6 months, all 7 modules during the pandemic, completely remotely, not one in-person meeting, which breaks all the models of implementations. With an offshore partner who is also going through the pandemic. So we look at what we're doing now as easy compared to, you know, that. So so that's where we're at today. And then we continue to look at opportunities, you know, these kinds of things, which is how we arrived at Grayscale.
And so as the Director of People Systems, tell us a little bit about the key sort of KPIs or outcomes you're focused on.
I think it's all the same things that I'm assuming the room is focused on. You know, how fast can we get people? How can we get the most qualified people? How can we retain the experience around the recruiting experience, which then comes into the hiring experience, two different things, which then goes into your career experience. And then I love that, you know, we mentioned retirement. We have a long-standing workforce, so how people are actually leaving, which means they're going into the community, you know, how that experience happens for people is important as well to us.
And just to add a little bit of color, tell us a bit about the types of roles you're hiring for and what are some of the challenges that come along with that kind of hiring?
So the company dynamic is 72% is our hourly on the floor making yogurt, making products, not all is yogurt, also our oat products. And then the rest would be all the things you would envision, right? Creative and marketing and finance, R&D, you know, if you think about hiring people that are going to create the next innovation, you know, in our business. So two very different dynamics. We also have both of those manufacturing plants are in a fairly rural area. So I was listening very closely to some of your talk, Mark. And so we want to make sure that both the interaction is what's going to make the difference, but also the experience becomes very important to us.
And so how did the idea of texting these candidates first occur to you?
Well, it's a little duh. As we were hearing from our own, you know, our own population, our own experiences, and realizing we hadn't really been in pain, to be honest. You know, we have a wonderful brand, we have a wonderful offering, and then the world changed, right? And so we couldn't just be complacent, and we were relying on, you know, emails and, you know, old school phone. It feels old school now. And so started looking at having conversations about being able to text. I got the agreement, we call it texting, not SMS, depending on who you talk to. So the opportunity to be able to interact with candidates in a different way.
And so how'd you hear about Grayscale, and what were the biggest, like, kind of hair on fire business challenges that made you seriously consider bringing us on as a partner?
Yeah, there's a couple things. One is we have kind of an internal rule. I'm sure there's an IT term for it. that we only integrate to SuccessFactors with standard integrations with companies that have already worked with SuccessFactors. We're not interested in being an early adopter of something. So we worked with the SAP SuccessFactor team on who, you know, what companies are already in that space, what are you already working with. There's not a lot. In the first one, I think I talked to somebody else, a couple other people about this experience. The first company we met with only had the ability to send out messages. That was a short meeting. That's not what we were looking for. And so then, you know, Grayscale came along and really met all the requirements, plus gave us new ideas that, you know, are still kind of coming into fruition. But it was really that relationship with SuccessFactors that was critical for us to even be able to have those conversations.
Well, with partners, it's always a question of, all right, I see the value, but how long is this going to take to get up and running? So how quickly did you get up and running with Grayscale, and how quickly did you start seeing value?
Okay, so I'm sure all of you in the room get hundreds of emails from vendors and idea companies and salespeople, you know, how easy and how, you know, we can do this for you. If you're not doing this, you should be doing this, and, you know, your competitors are doing this. So you become a little skeptical, you know, when your sales team tells you, you know, this is how it's going to be, and Mark put it up on the screen. It literally was as simple as you said it was. Every single, not you specifically, Charles, Tara. But literally, you know, you have all, you know, you have the CIO engaged, you've got the legal engaged, you've got, you know, your network, you've got your integrators, you've got a third party. So there's a lot of people asking a lot of questions, and it kept like, it's plug and play. It'll be 4 weeks. I promise you, you'll be able to get going. Okay, okay. So I have this whole separate secret plan here of what was actually going to happen. It was what was on the slide. It was amazing, amazing. I'm still waiting for the other shoe to drop, FYI. It's been 6 months.
Well, we have a lot of HRIS experts in the room digging in specifically to integration. I mean, what was the ease of actually getting the product integrated on the back end?
Like? The easiest we've ever done with SuccessFactors. You know, my partner on the IT side called and he's I said, you know, do you have another meeting tomorrow? No, it's done. It's in UAT. It's up and running. And I said, well, have you done the testing? Yeah. Didn't you just start it yesterday morning? Yeah. Okay. Am I missing something? I mean, we literally were both like, this doesn't make any sense. It's true.
After implementation, what were some of the first challenges you started to tackle?
I don't know. So from a business challenge, it was like, just go. You know, so we did, you know, we worked through with the Grayscale team, who did excellent training, provided, you know, all the right documents, you know, just again kept it simple. Because you saw it on the screen, it's simple. You don't really need to spend a ton of time trying to help people, you know, just start talking. And so we really we looked at, you know, part of the pain was the drop off, you know, as many of you have experienced. 71% of that 70% of hourly workforce is English as a second language. 21 languages in a plant. And so you start to think about, you know, how can you connect with people, and do we want to start working through languages? And we, you know, said not at first, you know, we're heading towards that direction, and we're English, you know, in the plants from a safety perspective as well. And so it was, okay, go, and let's see what happens. The other piece, you didn't really hit on it, but the other piece that's really important with Grayscale, the metrics that you get. You get a report every week, and it's as simple as could be, and it's kind of key things you would already ask about. But we saw our first, the time to the first contact. So when a recruiter sent out a text through SuccessFactors, from the time somebody responded, 4 hours. So 80% of the contacts, somebody responded in 4 hours. So I don't know, you know, how many of you work with recruiters, but when you get a thank you note from a recruiter, it makes your ear, because that's a tough job. So we've continued to see that, you know, it's quick for people to come back. And more importantly, we have the tools in order, if we'd like to be faster at our turnaround on hiring as well, but some of it's our own pain. It's not about systems, but managers are busy or something's happening. So we have the ability to actually, you know, send out a video, you know, to, we can see people are kind of in a place, and maybe it's been 2 weeks. Maybe it's been more than that, but we can send out a video, the TED Talk of, you know, our founder talking about, you know, Chobani and the, you know, our foundational beliefs. So you still can keep people engaged and understanding, differently than we could have before. So we're using it in all those ways.
Now, integration and implementation is one story. Adoption is another, and adoption is essential to bringing on any kind of new technology. How did you drive adoption amongst your recruiting team?
They did it for themselves. So we did set up a separate, we use Teams, so we did separate a very specific team chat around Grayscale, like share your learning, share your best practices. They had done a great job, you know, setting up templates and kind of the standard things we already were using in the email, but we have some brilliant, you know, newer generation of, you know, kind of thinking that had, you know, I did this and this is how it worked, and I did this and this is how it worked. So best practices even within their own. And then I'm pretty sure there was a contest. I don't know all the details, but I have a feeling between two, you know, our plants recruiting contests on who could get the most responses, who could, you know, get things moved forward quicker than they've been able to do. So, and again, it's to get the information is as simple as it is to actually use the system.
And this this brings me back to my earlier question, sort of the before and after. How did Grayscale sort of impact those business challenges you mentioned, both on the high volume side at the plants, and then did it change anything for the sort of back office staff or some of your more white collar positions?
So we do, you know, we do surveys. We use our Qualtrics to, you know, do some candidate surveys, which candidate to hire surveys. Those numbers, especially with our, you know, differently skilled pieces of the organization, went much higher than they had ever been. Just about, you know, did you hear how, you know, were you comfortable, how quickly you heard from somebody? Did your experience align with the brand that you understand? You know, those kinds of things. And above and beyond just checking in, like, has your manager, you know, welcomed you to the company? You know, those kinds of things. So that, you know, increased our experience and the positivity of that. Also important on the other side was our opportunity for our fills. We had a pretty significant number to meet. And I think I'm pretty confident that our leaders didn't think we were going to get there because we hadn't had to before. So the recruiting team met all their goals, which means, of course, you're meeting your production goals, which means, you know, you're meeting the sales goals, et cetera. So you can kind of draw a straight line to those kinds of things.
So improved candidate surveys, meeting hiring goals, which is sort of faster time to fill. Any other key metrics worth sharing?
We don't have good way to measure, but the efficiency of the recruiters, you know, above and beyond the satisfaction, you know, for them is, you know, much different than it was. So we're pretty happy about that.
The amount of time and effort it takes to make one hire,
yeah,
went down. Got it. And a birdie told me that you've been sort of MacGyvering Grayscale to use it for some use cases beyond just recruiting. Can you share a little bit about that?
Well, someday we hope that's integrated into more of the modules, because the opportunity to have these kind of conversations, remind me, I want to come back to something. So we are MacGyvering, we're allowed to. I made sure it was okay. So the way our process works, you're working with a recruiter, you know, through the hiring process and the recruiting process, and then you get moved to someone else when you go into onboarding module, but also the onboarding experience. So you have this, you're texting, you know, you feel like you know your recruiter, you might not even talk to the same recruiter, but because of the way Grayscale works, you know, it's a continuous conversation, it's very personalized. And then you come into the onboarding, because now you're back to email. And so, and it's a different person. And so we kind of looked at that and was like, that doesn't make any sense. And it was clunky. From a communication, there was, you can imagine, I'm sure many of you live it, there's spreadsheets and then there's emails and, you know, all these things. And so what we did was said, well, why can't the onboarders continue to use Grayscale that's already the conversation tool with these candidates? And so we, you know, set up some of our templates for onboarding. You know, we're still using the onboarding module because that's the hiring part of things, but the interaction, the sending out of where do you go, you know, when you come to the plant, where's your orientation, you know, those kinds of things. But almost more importantly is the ability for the candidates to ask quick questions. You know, I didn't see where, you know, what shoes do I wear? I didn't see, you know, whatever. And so we're using it really from an onboarding perspective as well. And we've got some ideas on some other things, but right now that was, you know, kind of our scope to try it out, and they're thrilled, and we're, you know, we're seeing that interaction, that, you know, the lack of ghosting that maybe happened on the operating side.
Well, you guys are ahead of the game. It's worth sharing with the audience. We keep hearing about, when are you going to get integrated with EC and onboarding? And our answer is, it's on our roadmap for later this year, and we don't stop hearing about it.
The other piece, we've never talked about this, but as I was listening to Mark and some other questions, there was an interest, certainly from a compliance perspective. I heard, nothing's in writing, nothing's documented, that maybe the recruiters were using their personal phones to be texting with candidates because that's how they could get a hold of people. And so, you know, I started to get a little queasy, and, you know, legal started to get concerned. So this is partly why we, you know, started really focusing on spending some money and doing a comprehensive texting strategy, because now everything's compliant. Everything's in here. We can see everything. I don't, you know, worry about what's happening. Let's put it that way.
Right.
So there's a key piece, and I think it's an important part.
And so you've driven a lot of business outcomes in just the first few months of using Grayscale. Texting or no texting, or Grayscale or no Grayscale, what do you have your sights on next?
World domination. from an employee perspective, it's just continual. I want to talk to you about, you didn't use the word engagement. I'm so curious about experience versus engagement. But, you know, making sure that we are meeting the needs of our employees. And, you know, it wouldn't be appropriate for me to not, you know, put a plug in. We are very focused on, you know, diversity and inclusion and equity within our organization. We also, you know, as you can imagine, if you know anything about Chobani, also are very focused on challenges for refugees. And so we have hiring goals, you know, we have goals, of course, but we also have an innate understanding because of our workforce that we have today. And so thinking about how do we get better and get to that population, you know, in a quicker, easier way, because they come to the country with nothing. First thing they get is a phone. And so if that's a way we can, you know, get to them, then that's what we're looking to do.
Awesome. And then last question for you. What's something about Chobani that people might not know?
What do you think is the most popular flavor? Blueberry. Blueberry pays the light bills.
Yeah. The more you know.
Little Chobani trivia. You never know.
Stan Mehta, do we have 2 minutes for questions?
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, no.
We have a...
I was just going to ask some hard questions.
We have a traveling microphone here.
Go ahead.
Go ahead, a question. Yeah.
I'll repeat the question. Go ahead. Go first.
Okay.
Sure, it's going to be easier.
My question is to kind of harken back to your point about it being available in multiple different modules. In terms of using the mentoring programs inside of SuccessFactors, I can see that being very useful.
Great.
Doing that all the way through the life cycle of the employee.
Exactly.
Communicating with the HR benefits team on things like, you know, not to lessen the criticality and importance of like ECSC, because we need that as well for different things, but I think that could also be useful. And my question on the recruiters that are using it, are they internal or using RPOs, or what are you doing, and is there a difference for you for the function?
Yeah, we actually don't use any RPOs. So she asked, first of all, great comments about other use cases for Grayscale within the entire life cycle. Take that back. I think they get the, you know, they get it every week. But if we all do it, you know, it'll move up on the roadmap. And then the question was, I forgot the question.
Internal versus RPO.
So we, from a use case perspective, we do 95% of our internal recruiting. We have our internal recruiters. Partly, we want to own the brand. We want to own the experience, you know, those types of things. And that's worked, you know, for us. When we do use our external partners, especially for executive searches, et cetera, they will, you know, kind of manage that within their own organizations. But when they start to come into our hiring process, because they will, that's when they would engage on the grayscale piece with our organization. It's a great question. Thanks for making that out, Tomer. I was like, she's going to ask about the integration. I could feel it.
My question.
Go ahead.
So, two related questions. Do any of your customers use Grayscale outside the US? One. Two, does it work with other messaging platforms such as WhatsApp? Because we have a huge presence in Mexico where texting is not the norm on a regular text, cell phone text, it's WhatsApp.
Yeah, that's a great question. So the question is, do we have texting outside of the US, and then do we send messages through other platforms like WhatsApp? So the answer is yes and yes. So we have two-way SMS for most countries. Some countries have limitations on mobile carriers, but the vast majority of countries, we have two-way SMS in. And even for the ones that we don't, we have a WhatsApp integration. And so for a country like Mexico or Brazil, or even India is another popular one where WhatsApp is really the dominant messaging layer over SMS. We have integrations for WhatsApp too. Any other questions?
I have a question around the consent, right? Every country has a different rule and a policy to obtain consent before we can start texting them. So we operate in a lot of countries, so this is always a constant challenge for us. So are you driving the consent to your carrier's page while creating the profile, or are you driving it through the escape?
Yeah, that's a great question. Like you mentioned, so the question was about consent, opt-in, opt-out to, all super important. It's like you mentioned, different on a country-by-country basis. And at this point, we have enough clients working in multitudes of countries. We have kind of a playbook for each one. So consent in the US is different than it is in the UK, is different than GDPR. And so as our customer kind of comes on board, we scope it out, we do some hand-holding, and some of it is best done on the SAP side, some of it is done on the apply page. So it's a little bit of hand-holding, but yeah, it's a good question. So different for each client. The question is, do support?
So if we have operations in the UK and in Germany and in Poland and in China where the regulations are different, does it support that kind of different levels of consent?
Yes, I think our customer operating in the most countries is operating in 10 or 12, and so yes. And some want their instances siloed from one another, and some want it all to be one Grayscale instance. And the recommendation we make would be different in both of those cases. So I'm happy to dig in with you about which countries you're texting in specifically, but that's a great question.
I don't know if this question is for Colleen or for Grayscale, but when you mentioned that you send out the text messages with like a video link, are those video links something that you have the option to develop yourself, or is it a link to YouTube or something you find on the internet? I'm curious of what the restrictions are on what that link is.
I think we're doing all of the above.
Yeah, Colin, why don't you share a little bit about your use case? So the question was around video links. Do you embed links? Do you copy them? Is it a unique link per candidate?
Yes, what are you doing? Yes.
can the customer create their own video?
Oh, yeah, we're doing cell phone, like managers taking the cell phone video themselves. Like, can't wait for you to join the team.
That's amazing. That's actually what I was wondering about, how amazing that would feel to get a video thank you. So yeah. I didn't know if it was YouTube or link-related.
Yeah, it's where we save it, I think, is where the technology
comes in.
Right. And also assessments, too, are really big. And so to keep the whole candidate journey on the cell phone, again, the drop-off between sending a candidate an email assessment, right, that might go to spam, or we're talking about somebody who might not check their email inbox all that often, or it gets lost. I would venture to guess, or maybe I'm projecting, most of the people in this room, your work email is a lot cleaner than your personal. I certainly fall into that category. And so when the whole journey lives on their cell phone, the assessment, onboard, the offer stage, then you sort of get that reduction and drop off at every point in the process.
And you didn't talk about the tool factor. So you can customize phone numbers. So one of the things we, you know, were concerned about and what was happening was, you know, you're not, we've already mentioned this, right? You're not going to react to a number that's definitely not in your area code. And so we actually customized, loaded, you know, in these, again, in these rural areas, the area codes so that when something goes out, you know, via text, because, you know, you don't have the, these loaded in your phones, it looks like it's a local number. And so that people are much more apt to respond to that. Of course, first thing says, you know, hey, it's, you know, Terry from Chobani. So that's something that we thought was, we didn't think about until we got asked the question, do you want to customize? Yes.
Yeah, it matters. We will match the candidate's area code that you're texting. So you're texting somebody in Atlanta, they're going to get a certain area code, and then you text somebody else, the same recruiting user, text somebody in Newtown Square, you get a local Philly area code. I think there was one other question over here. All right.
Go ahead, Mark.
One more.
In regards to the spoofing of area codes, right, for folks to customizing of code numbers here. With the advent of Apple and their filtering our like Trump text messages, have you guys have any experience with that and getting candidates not actually receiving the text because of the Verizon filters or the Apple filters?
Yeah, it's a good question. So, without getting too into the weeds, we have a back-end provider for all of the POTS APIs, and so they handle a lot of that, like not getting filtered on their end. And when you use a big provider like that, it becomes a non-issue.
And we haven't heard from candidates or you know that there's any issues with that. Really great question. Well, everyone, do something good today. Have a little yogurt. Thank you so much. Yeah.